Welcome back to HealthLink On Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, as we've just heard, Lyme disease is rampant here in Central New York. And joining us this morning to share with us her own personal experience with this disease is Kristen Schofield, the Director of Volunteer Services at Upstate University Hospital at Community General. She's also the founder and president of the Central New York chapter of the Empire State Lyme Disease Association. Welcome, Kristen. Thanks
Good
for
morning.
Coming in today.
Thank you.
So tell us your story. You had Lyme or have Lyme disease?
I do. I have what they would call chronic Lyme disease. I've had it for close to 17 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I contracted it when I was in college. I was diagnosed at that point with Lyme, treated for a little bit, and then kind of went through a number of years of not quite sure what was wrong with me. I was a pretty healthy kid, a pretty healthy teenager, and then in my 20s and 30s was a little, had some issues with some health issues that were of concern, and then kind of went back to some doctors in Jersey where I had been before, only to find out that there were some more things they could have done for me back when I first was diagnosed, and found some more treatment options that were available to me, and was able to find a doctor, in New York City that was able to test me for co-infections, which I had never been treated or tested for, that I did in fact have. So that changed my diagnosis quite a bit.
I mean, I'm really curious. Let's go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So you contracted it in college.
Mm-hmm.
Where and how, if you don't mind telling
I'm
us?
I'm actually from New Jersey, which is very common. Most people in New Jersey have...
It's a hot spot
as
well.
It's a hot spot, yes, absolutely. From North Jersey, most people have family members who have it or have had it themselves. And I was in college up here, actually, and had gone home for the summer for a little bit and had been... they assume I had been bitten at that point. I never had a rash. I never saw a tick. And it was about 9 months before I was diagnosed.
Had you been, like, hiking in the woods? Are you an outdoorsy kind of person?
No, and I think that's one of the misconceptions about Lyme. It's you don't necessarily have to be a hunter or a hiker or a camper. You can have dogs that walk through their backyard and pick up a tick and drop it in the house, and you could be a couch potato and still get Lyme disease. But no, it's just where my family lives. It's right in the smack dab in the middle of the woods.
Well, that's a very important point, I think, for our listeners, because I think as we've often said, there are, you know, precautions that we think we need to take, and often they include, you know, maybe wearing long sleeves in wooded areas, those kinds of things. And you're saying that it's really, if it's in a hot spot area, as we are here in Central New York, there are many, many ways that, much more passive ways that you can pick up the disease.
Right.
Okay, so then tell us again, when you first realized or had some inkling that you had Lyme disease before, I mean, even before medical, treatment.
I had no idea that I was sick with Lyme. I was in college. I was tired. They thought I had mono. They thought of just a lot of things were going on, that last semester of school kind of thing. And I ended up coming home to Jersey, where it's so prevalent that you walk around, people are like, oh, well, maybe you have Lyme. It was a question that came up. So I was tested and did test positive right away and was treated. On a short course of antibiotics that I had a facial paralysis that didn't clear up right away. So they had extended that for a little bit of time. And so kind of...
And that obviously did clear, as I'm seeing.
Yeah, yeah. Not completely, but yes, over the years it has cleared.
Okay, so then that cleared. And you were at that point feeling that you were free of the disease, or did they counsel you that you would continue to have sequelae or problems from the disease?
I think that it was one of those things that had gone on for quite some time, that I kind of got used to the headaches and got used to the fatigue, and kind of got to the point where I was working full time then, and then started having children, and kind of one thing after another that led to gotten to a point where I had gotten so bad that in the last couple of years that I went looking for some other treatment.
Do you mind sharing with us what some of the other symptoms were that alerted you?
Sure. I think for me is I have some memory loss. I have short-term memory issues, which I think for this many years, I have a lot of coping skills that you begin to develop after a while.
And those were not in any way evidenced prior to your being...
Oh, absolutely.
I'm saying prior to thinking you had Lyme.
No, that was one of the things that led them to believe I had Lyme. It was a clinical diagnosis, was I was having issues in school with my memory and processing issues. And then with the headaches and the migraines and the fatigue and the joint pain, and, you know, it seemed to be right along the lines of all the things that go right with Lyme disease. And the co-infections, sleeping issues and the night sweats and the, you know, so there was a lot of things
that go
along.
What type of sleeping issues when you say sleeping? Not being able to sleep?
Well, usually for people with, it's babesiosis is one of the co-infections that I have. Bartonella is the other that I have. You're able to sleep and then you're awake for hours on end, or you're unable to fall asleep and then, you know, the exhaustion is an issue. Mm-hmm.
So tell us again, so you were treated for a short term, then you went through, then you, it was assumed that you were, you know, treated adequately.
They did the best that they could at the right. time with what they had, yes.
And then you found later in later years that you had co-infections mm-hmm. that were then diagnosed?
Yes.
And
yes.
How were those diagnosed?
That's on also a blood test as well.
So yes. On those secondary blood tests, they did determine that you had these co-infections.
Yes, that as well as clinical diagnosis, just from looking at what you have symptom-wise.
And what did they then do for you, for the co-infections?
This was about a year and a half ago. They started, almost 2 years ago now, I guess. They started on IV antibiotics. I had a port placed, and I was on about 10 months of IV antibiotics, mm-hmm. which in the Lyme community is it's pretty typical. It's a long course of antibiotics, but they do that along with a set of oral antibiotics and some other holistic things that help your immune system.
And where are you today with all of these things?
Miles from where I was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. People who know me can't believe the difference from where I was. I wasn't able to walk in from the parking lot some days. And now
from fatigue,
yeah. From then to now, I've been cleared to start back running again, and you know it's a huge difference. I credit my doctor a lot for being able to stick to what he really set out to do, and he promised me. He kept telling me that, you know, don't sit back on your heels. You're going to be okay. You know, so
now are you continuing to be treated in any way?
Right now we're kind of. We're doing a little bit of a treatment, still a small dose of oral antibiotics for the next couple of months, and we're going to move on from there.
So from the beginning to today, how many years would you say you've been in the process of being treated for both the Lyme and the co-infections?
It'll be 2 years in July.
Total.
This real active with this doctor.
Mm-hmm. With this doctor, but mm-hmm. you had antibiotics. So from the time that you first were diagnosed with Lyme.
It was in 1994.
So.
Yeah.
That's quite a long, was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Long stretch. So what led you to start this support group? Because I understand that's kind of your passion at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah, when I was going through this, I really didn't have anyone in the area to talk to. There was no one really to draw from. And then I ran into a woman who also had Lyme. And she and I, it was like having a sisterhood. You know, she said, oh, well, don't worry when this happens. And it was kind of, it was nice to have somebody I could bounce things off of. And I felt bad for other people who might be going through it. So I kind of thought, well, let's give it a whirl and see if anybody else is out there. And the first group, you know, I had 4 people show up, and I was okay, that wasn't too bad. And then by the third group, there was about 22, I think, clearly there was a need. I felt pretty strongly that we needed to do something.
So what? Tell me more about the group. How often do you meet? Where do you meet? And what is the content of your meetings?
Mm-hmm. We meet every third Monday at 7 o'clock at the Onondaga Free Library up by Community General. And it depends on who shows up. Sometimes we have a core group that usually shows up, the kind of the veterans that have been doing this for a while. And then we have some new people that are really just getting started, that are looking for doctors, they're looking for answers. They just started some treatments, they're not quite sure how things are going to go, or they have family members that are in that same position. It's kind of a nice sigh of relief to find some people who have been there and have can kind of guide them a little bit or try some things. And even, you know, being able to talk about this is how I handled my port, or this is how
sure.
I handled, you know, this kind of medication, or, you know, the best way to, you know, to remind yourself to take medications, or
and
those
how,
kinds of things.
How long have you had the group going?
It was a year in March.
Wow. And yeah. It's still going strong.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we're going to, I know you have a Facebook presence.
Yes.
And you have a
mm-hmm.
website.
Yep.
And not a website, an email address.
Yes.
And I think we'll have reference to those kinds of things on our website so mm-hmm. people can check in. What do you think, What would you like people to know, given all of your experience in terms of, you know, this whole problem? Because as I said, this is a hot spot in Central New York. Mm-hmm. From your experience, what are the kinds of things you'd like people to know?
I believe that prevention is huge. We talked about an early diagnosis. If you're feeling things or you're seeing things, like I had said, that not everyone sees a tick, not everyone sees a rash. But if you're finding those things, to take care of them sooner than later and not wait.
Did you also say when you said, I mean, you're talking, for example, about not everyone sees a tick. Even if you've had a tick bite, sometimes. Or the tick attaches. Sometimes it's in areas that you wouldn't necessarily
exactly
notice.
If it's on your back and you live alone, you're not going to see that you have a tick right. bite or a rash. Or on your scalp, you're not going to see that you have a rash. Mm-hmm. And that's it may account for some of the things that aren't counted.
Right. But if you should suspect in any way that you've been bitten by a deer tick, mm-hmm. and I mean, obviously, the first line of defense is to see your doctor immediately and
yes.
hopefully get some treatment and get a test or get antibiotics started.
Yes.
So, and also, how about things like putting on, you know, insect repellents? Is that the kind of thing? I mean, obviously, if you have animals, you'd want them to be covered.
Right. A couple of ways to do that, like you had said earlier, about wearing socks that are higher than, you know, tucking your pants into your socks and staying off of, staying out of the high grass, but also staying off the deer trails, because that's where the ticks are gonna hang out and wait for deer to walk by. But also the permethrin is one way. You can wash your clothes in that. You can use it as a lotion on your body. DEET is another one. It's a good way. You know, wiping your dog down when he walks in the house is another way to keep them from dropping off in the house.
Mm-hmm. Generally, though, it was my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong because I do have an animal as well, a dog, that when the ticks attach to the dog, they're pretty well set there. I mean, but you're suggesting that they can actually fall off.
Well, if they're just brushing by them and they're catching onto their hair before they climb up and attach on, they could be dropping off in the house.
And you've actually heard of examples of that
absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess the thing that strikes me as most important here is that if you don't have a rash or if you don't find a tick, you may be experiencing symptoms that could be very easily confused with other things.
Right.
Fatigue being clearly one. I mean, facial paralysis to me screams out something more. But something like fatigue and headaches, issues with sleep, I mean, you'd probably, you know, query 9 out of 10 people these days have sleep issues.
Right, right.
So what you're suggesting, though, really is if you have any suspicion about any of these things, you really should see your doctor.
Oftentimes people can look back and say, you know, I did have that episode of a flu-like episode, you know, that they say it was, and then this all started from there. So sometimes that's a good indicator that, you know, you have these clinical symptoms you can go to your doctor with.
Did you ever run a fever that you recall?
Yes, absolutely. But never did I think at the time that's what it was. Like I said, it was months later.
You never drew the connection. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, thank you so very much for coming in today. I mean, I think what you're doing is so important, and the fact that there's a support group out there is incredibly important, because I think, like I said, with things like fatigue as being a symptom or kind of more amorphous kinds of symptoms, people can be brushed off and said, you know, it's all in your head. And I think it's really important that there is a group out there to really help people kind of verify and reinforce their experience. My guest has been Kristen Schofield. She is the Director of Volunteer Services at Upstate University Hospital and Community General. She's also the founder and president of the Central New York chapter of the Empire State Lyme Disease Association, and someone who has Lyme and it has been treated successfully. Stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. There's more HealthLink on air right ahead after this very short break.